Welcome to Families for Life with Brian and Brian, a podcast of Oak Hill Baptist Church.
On today's episode, we're going to be talking about how the digital world affects our brains.
Okay. Hey, Brian, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Brian. How are you, man?
I am much better now that we're sitting down.
Yep.
And getting to enjoy time together. You are always an encouragement to me, so well, I appreciate getting to spend time with you doing this podcast.
It goes both ways, man.
It's a lot of fun. Yep. So today we're going to talk about how the digital world affects our brains.
Yeah. So scary, right?
Like
so,
scanners.
Yeah.
Brain's going to explode.
Exactly. No. So,
you know, there's a lot of brain science out there. Mm-hmm. We are not brain scientists. We just play one on TV. I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Just kidding. I didn't. I was at home with my wife.
Are people going to know that reference? I hope they will.
It's an old commercial where the guy said was doing surgery or something.
Yeah,
was
like, I'm, yeah.
I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
It's like, so that makes you qualified.
But anyway, in the book that we've been using as a reference, The Digital Invasion, they have a whole section, a whole chapter on brain science and how the digital world affects our brains. And so I actually think this is really interesting.
Yeah.
We don't want to get too bogged down in the sciencey stuff because we're not experts, but I do think there's a lot of applications to our lives and especially our spiritual lives. Yeah. So what's your take on this?
No, I totally agree. You know, as I was looking at the chapter on this and just thinking about it, it's interesting. We do need to take note of how this affects us physiologically, psychologically, and think through it from a biblical worldview.
Right.
And how that applies. I mean, we're supposed to do everything we do for the glory of God.
That's right.
And if that's the case, then we need to understand how this really is affecting us.
Yeah, you know, Jesus says to love the Lord your God with your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength.
Yeah.
So I mean, he puts four components making up the whole person.
That's right.
I mean, we can't differentiate, well, I'm loving God with my heart, but not my mind. I mean,
exactly.
We're a whole person, so how we think about all those things, and we may not fully understand the mystery of how the soul and the mind and all that
interact,
connect and interact. God knows, and God knows we are a whole being, and it matters to him.
That's right. And so, and that's why we're going to be resurrected one day. We're not just going to be, you know, floating souls for all of eternity. We will have physical body, a physical mind, or brain, in eternity. So
that's right.
It's really cool how God has, you know, designed all of this.
Yeah.
And this was a super enlightening chapter to me, just to see what, you know, the effects can be on our brains. And so I just kind of wanted to go through some of these, what they broke them out into different systems. They talked about different like kind of systems of our brains and how technology and the digital world can affect them. And they talked about, you know, how it changes the brain. And the more I looked into it, I don't know what your opinion on this was. It really seemed more like, okay, this is how it's affecting our brains. It's not so much like causing like a permanent mutation or something.
Sure.
It's more about like, this is what happens in your brain when you are exposing it to a lot of the digital world.
The brain is very complex, and there is just, you know, so many things when we talk about, you know, the different hormones and the receptors and just the electrical. Yeah. I mean, there's so much going on. But what we do know is that there is science that tells us that the digital, you know, impact and interaction does change us. Some of it, I would argue, is not bad.
Right.
But there are things when we talk about, you know, we'll get into this, but we say like addiction, the same addiction things that happen with a drug addiction can happen with technology as well.
It's like the same thing that happens in your brain with smoking cigarettes and being on social media.
That's crazy.
Yes.
Yeah. And, well, let's get into it. What's the first system here?
Yeah. So the first one is the pleasure system. And so that's what they call it. You know, there are scientific terms. It's essentially the part of your brain. There's one part of your brain called the nucleus accumbens. I don't know if I said that right or not, but this pleasure center. And it is where chemicals, you know, go and cause the sensation of pleasure for any type of pleasure.
Primarily dopamine.
Right. Dopamine, yes, is the one major chemical that goes up in there. And we hear a lot about dopamine a lot. I mean, that's just what causes us to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can be this is a good thing, obviously. We want the pleasure system. That's
right.
That's a good part of our life. God made that
right.
on purpose. But the problem is it can be overused.
Right. This is why things that bring us pleasure, we need a lot of times we need more and more and more to feel satisfied because right. if you have dopamine in your system, and they talk about dopamine flooding.
Exactly.
You have to have more and more and more to get a higher level. And that's where the addictive process comes into play.
Exactly. So it's like if you're smoking a cigarette and you get those dopamine levels up, mm-hmm. well, the next time you smoke a cigarette, you're going to need even more dopamine. So you're going right. to need to smoke even more. Right. You're going to need more nicotine. Right. Same thing goes with scrolling through something on Instagram or social media, any social media, and digital technology, gaming, it all works the same to your brain. It just produces that dopamine and it can flood that system if you're not taking regular breaks.
Well, and then it works in the reverse because then there's a lack of joy in those things that did bring you pleasure, but now they end up becoming things that depress you.
Right. They're almost self-defeating
right.
in that way. And so that's what was really interesting to me is that this like overusing,
mm-hmm.
and we'll be clear about that, overusing technology can actually make you depressed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. That's why we need to have limits.
Right.
We need to take breaks. We need to have times where, it's hard for adults because many of us have work related things.
Right.
Well, we need to have intentional times where we're putting our phone down and not engaging in social media and other digital
things. We'll talk about some of that, like what to do. But I really think just right off the bat, like literally taking a walk.
Yeah.
You know, one walk a day. That has been, I can't quote the sources right now, but I've read many sources where they talk about taking a walk every day is such a good thing for you.
Just clearing your mind.
That's
yeah.
right. Mm-hmm. So yeah. What's another?
Yeah. The next system is a tranquility system. And this is chemical messengers target receptors in your brain to give you a sense of peace and tranquility. When they're depleted, our sense of anxiety rises. Cortisol is the stress hormone that can block these tranquility receptors, which shuts down the brain's production of the tranquilizer chemicals. So that's a lot of sciencey talk.
Right.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I think it's basically just telling us that there are chemical. I mean, that's the way our brain works. There's chemicals that go from mm-hmm. one place to another that create information make information happen.
Right.
And so what these messengers are doing is they are constantly producing this sense of peace and tranquility. Until something else happens.
Right.
When cortisol starts rising, which usually happens when your adrenaline starts going. When you get an adrenal rush, that fight or flight tendency,
yes.
that's cortisol flooding, which is actually making you not have peace because you've got to deal with a problem. So you can't be all loosey-goosey when, a rattlesnake is at your feet.
Right.
And so this happens and you start feeling this anxiety.
Mm.
And so what this is telling us is if cortisol is being built up kind of artificially, like for not a real emergency, it's going to make us feel anxious when we don't have to.
Well, and there's definitely a rise in especially in teenagers of anxiety, depression, anxiety related, things, panic attacks and things like that. I don't know that there's a direct correlation, but if I had to guess, there probably is a correlation to being plugged into gaming and social media and the internet and all of those things.
I totally agree. And so, I mean, I think there have been studies that show direct correlations between particular people and mm-hmm. their use of technology
yeah.
and their anxiety and depression. Worldwide, nationwide, is it necessarily that way for everyone? We don't know that for sure, but it definitely seems to be going together.
Yeah, and there's physical side effects. High levels of cortisol can increase obesity, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, and heart disease. I mean, this is where the physical body is being affected by the stress
right.
and the things in your life. And right. so when we overuse technology, we can physically cause anxiety and health disorders. You know, I don't know about you, but I've seen this play out when you go on a retreat. Mm-hmm. And many times on retreats, there's no technology. You know, the camp that we used, that we went to, didn't have cell phone service, you know? And I would just see the anxiety and the stress begin to melt away after like the first day.
Oh, yeah.
Kids are happier. I'm happier.
Yep.
Kids are happier. We're experiencing, you know, true fellowship. We're in God's word together. And man, that's why people love retreats and camps is because you get away from everything.
Right.
And so it's almost like we need to do this on a regular basis in our life. Maybe we take a vacation and we unplug during that vacation.
You're basically, you know, and I want to be careful saying this, but you can waste your vacation if you're overusing technology while you're trying to rest.
Right.
Because what this is telling us is that you actually can't rest.
Yeah. Listen, you know, you can post, I don't know if you know this or not, you can post about your vacation when you get back from
it.
Yeah, I know,
that's
right?
That's crazy. Yeah, the pictures are still on your phone.
They're still there.
Yeah, yeah. So just don't drop it in like a lake or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but there's more to it. So we've already just hit two huge things. You know, this stuff can really increase depression. It can increase anxiety. And that's shown in our brains. Another thing that it can mess with is our memory system.
Right.
And this is where I was like, this is amazing, the stuff that it can mess up. You know, so our brains have to process information in order to recover things, in order to remember stuff. Our brain, it almost has like its own RAM, the random access memory like computers have.
Mm-hmm.
And so scientists are finding that our brains can't process unlimited amounts of information.
Mm.
It can store an insane amount of information, but it can't process an unlimited amount. And so the more we're throwing at our brains at one time, the harder it is for our brain. It just cannot take it all in. And so it ends up like forgetting a lot of that information as it's coming to it.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's where sometimes when we get stressed and overloaded, we drop different things and we feel like a failure, but oftentimes it's because maybe we have too much being thrown at us, and we've got to say, okay, I'm going to do this, and then I got to set that aside and do the next thing. I can't do 10 things at once.
Right. It's like opening a bunch of different programs on your computer, and your computer's like, whoa. I cannot process all of these programs at one time. Can you please do one and then the other?
Right. We see this like with the, you know, the texting while driving, you know, it's like you can't do that because our focus will shift from driving, which we need to give full attention to our phones.
That's right.
And it literally takes 2 seconds and the car in front of you is stopped short, you know? Yep. So, you know, it's better to be focused on the important thing that's right in front of you. You know, that goes to our families, that goes to our work, that goes to a lot of other things. We've got to be focused on what's in front of us. And then, you know, if we need to take a break from that thing to do something else, that's fine.
Well, wives will appreciate this. I mean, this is why when, you know, you're talking to your husband and the TV's on and you say some really important stuff and he says, yeah, okay. And then you ask him about it later. He has no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
This is why, you know. Yeah. So he needs to
make him pause the TV.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. To focus because we can't process it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
then there's the learning system. And this is the process of learning is the process of brain change.
So it literally is the brain changing.
Yes. Taking in the information, storing it through the chemical and physical process. Mm-hmm. So it requires time, energy, and even rest. You know, it's interesting that we have to have rest for our brain to be able to process and store information. It can't just go, 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 go.
Fascinating to me.
Yeah. It's got to go offline for a little bit.
Yeah. And I even read elsewhere, it was saying that like, while it's unlike a car, you know, I think they said this in the chapter, it's not like a car where if you stopped at a stoplight, the engine isn't really doing anything. It's just idling.
Right.
Well, when your brain is idling, it's actually doing a lot.
Right.
And it has to be able to idle in order to consolidate and do all this other stuff.
Well, that's why sleep is so important. You know, getting good sleep, you feel less stressed. Mm-hmm. You feel more at yourself. There's so many benefits because your brain has that time to reset and lock in those things. And so I read in a book by Kevin DeYoung, Crazy Busy, he says sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap.
Yes.
Sometimes we have to unplug, reset, and then we can do the things that we need to do.
That's absolutely true.
And by the way, I would recommend if you feel stressed and overworked, read that book, Crazy Busy. Yeah. You know, and it's a really short book. Kevin DeYoung says it's a mercifully short book for a busy world.
Right. He gets it. We're busy. And so, but this was talking about how when we are like trying to study, they talked about how when people are studying and they get distracted by technology and social media and whatnot, it actually can make your neural system get more tired. Mm. It causes your brain to be more fatigued. And also if you're, and this was really important to me, this was super important to me. I wrestle with this, I think, a lot. I think that I'm resting by getting on my phone,
yes,
and like looking at stuff. But what this, they said that there's a lack of downtime in between what you're learning.
Mm.
And so if you are still looking at things and intaking information,
mm-hmm,
like even watching TV,
yeah,
your brain is not able to consolidate, mm-hmm, the information that you've learned prior to that. You have to have a time, actual time, mm, where your brain's not doing anything.
That's good.
While you're awake.
Yeah, and I think we get so used to going and going and going that, you know, anytime, you know, it's like you sit in bed and there's a show on or whatever. Oh, commercial. Pull out my phone.
I know.
You know, I'm in a line. I'm out of traffic.
About that.
I'm out of traffic light.
Yeah.
Pull out my phone.
Yep.
I get in a line. Pull out my phone. You know, maybe there would be times we could just sit and reflect and just rest and be able to maybe pray or,
yeah,
you know, whatever. Some of my most favorite times are just sitting on the porch, watching, yeah, the kids play, ride their bikes, not doing anything.
Yep.
Or, you know, they make fun of me, but I do crossword puzzles.
Yeah.
You know, they say I'm old, you know, and I guess you are engaging your brain, but that's more of an enjoyable,
right,
relaxing activity to me.
Well, and there's, you know, I don't believe that meditation is, you know, biblical meditation is pondering,
yes,
things.
Yes.
And that is your mind, consolidating, right, information.
How many times does God's word tell us to meditate? It's many, many, many times.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that we do the least as, yeah, Christians.
I can't meditate while I'm looking at, you know, Twitter.
Nope.
I cannot. And I really, we trick ourselves into thinking we can.
Yep.
And, you know, we're just so dumb when we do that. Yep. I'm talking about myself here. And so if you're out there, you're listening and you resonate with this, this is the science. Mm-hmm. Like, it's real. It messes with our brains.
Yep.
Yeah.
So overuse of the digital world can drastically impede our ability to learn and retain information, even memories.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the next learning system?
Yeah. So then,
or the next system.
Yeah, we've got the attachment system. And so, I could tell as we were going through this, they stopped being, going super hardcore into the science, mm-hmm, because I think it just gets so complicated.
Yeah.
And so really they're just talking about how your brain is designed. There are physical aspects of your brain that cause you to want to make relationships with people.
Mm.
And your brain actually has neurological pathways that are stimulated as you are seeking out attachment with people.
Mm.
And the authors were just talking about how this is obviously God's handiwork.
Mm-hmm.
He created us, our brains, to make us want to have a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like we desire intimacy, and it's because that's how we were made.
Right.
And what happens though is we can easily kind of short circuit this in a sense by too easily making connections kind of artificially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So,
yeah, I want to differentiate some of this stuff because I do think that in the new digital world that we're in, there are ways to have deep, intimate relationships,
right,
with people.
And I'm
okay.
Not,
so,
yeah, agreed.
So when you're texting someone that, you know, beyond small talk or whatever, I mean, that can be building a relationship, or you're FaceTiming somebody, or, I mean, I know many people that have deep relationships with people all across, yeah, the world. You know,
my father-in-law is in Madrid, and this morning my mother-in-law's in town and she's FaceTiming, right, with my son, and he's,
yes,
Papa this, and,
yes,
they're waving and blowing kisses.
So that kind of stuff is
huge.
Awesome and cool.
Yes.
And I think you can do good, solid relationships through that stuff. I don't think it ever, you know, being face to face in person is always the best.
Right.
But I do think there are things you can do digitally to build relationships. But what I think the downside is when we think we have relationships,
right,
by, say, going on social media, what we post on social media and getting comments, or, right, you know, those types of things are not genuine relationships.
Right.
All of my friends, the 1,000 or whatever people on Facebook, they're not all my friends.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, you know, people, especially students today and even younger, are at this place where it's like, if you post something and people don't like it, it's like, oh man, they must not be my friend anymore.
Yes.
I mean, they really feel like they don't have a genuine connection. Well, the problem with that is those things are designed, they're supposed to be,
well, and I know what you're saying. I think some of the nuance is lost, because it's like if you post an opinion about something, you're reduced to that opinion.
Yeah.
And it's not Brian, the whole person.
Sure.
You know, it's like, it's Brian, just that opinion.
Right. Yeah.
And I think we have to understand and say, who I am on social media is not who I am.
And that's what I'm trying to say. This is supposed to supplement relationships.
Yes.
It's not, it's supposed to make our real relationships better.
Yes.
It's not supposed to supplant them or take them over. And so we just have to make sure we're using this stuff the right way, or else what we're going to do is, right, we're going to make, so what happens in,
don't,
your brain,
trick yourself into thinking that, yeah, these are real relations, that because I have a bunch of followers, because I have a bunch of Facebook friends, that I have real connection with,
exactly,
people.
Exactly. And so you might have a connection, but it's not the same as what your brain is what you were created for.
Right.
And so we're trying to be careful, because studies are showing that these interpersonal neural pathways are often understimulated and underdeveloped because the interpersonal attachment has been replaced with the digital world. Mm. So our brains are actually looking different because we are living as if our connections on Instagram or Facebook, social media, are the realest relationships we can have.
Wow.
And that's what we have to be careful of.
Well, I think as adults and as children, we've got to make sure our kids have real relationships.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we just had a conversation about this earlier. As, yep, adults, it gets harder to have real friends, you know, people that you can call and talk to,
so busy,
and,
yeah,
and count on and hang out with. We've got to make sure we have those friendships.
Yep. And we trick ourselves into thinking that, well, you know, like I'm too busy with my life to like meet with somebody, but because I can see pictures of them and because I can like stuff and comment on things, we're tight.
Right.
And that's where, like, again, that's a supplement. That's great stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, of course, do that. That's wonderful. I love that stuff. Mm-hmm. However, that cannot be the total sum of our relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. And really, this overuse and overconnection through the digital world can really remove our ability to connect with people in real life. And so we've really got to watch that in our lives as adults, but then we've got to watch that with our kids. I think we've got to provide and help to facilitate real life connections with children. And you know, that's why I love the church.
Right. Exactly.
Because when you come to the youth group, when you come to the kids ministry, those kids are connecting with other people. And I know we as adults try to facilitate that as best we can,
right,
and help them to make those connections.
Yeah. And sometimes it's hard. I mean, this is one of the things that's hard for me as a youth pastor. I see students, they feel awkward talking to people, you know, in person. They'll text you all day long.
Right.
But if they're in person, they feel so awkward.
Right.
And part of the only solution for that is to just say, keep doing it.
Yeah.
And that is really hard, because it's like, I wish there was a super easy way to just get the awkwardness out of the way. And so I try to embrace that as much as possible. Like, I be awkward for them so they don't have to feel weird. I'm right. The weird one, not them. But we just have to keep really encouraging our kids and ourselves even to go out of our way to talk to people for real.
Yeah.
Or else we'll lose that ability.
That's
we won't
good.
Be able to do it.
Yeah, that's good.
So those are kind of the main systems that they talked about. They did talk about the spiritual aspect. They didn't really talk about a whole lot of what it looks like in the brain, but all of these things, I think, can easily be applied to our spiritual lives.
Oh, don't you think? Yeah, what's our big takeaways here?
Yeah, so we just have been talking about how when we use technology excessively, it can really have severe consequences on our brain. We have to master it because technology can be used for God's glory. We talk about that all the time.
It reminds me of what Paul said where he says, do not be controlled by anything.
That's right.
You know, and so Paul, he's talking about things in their life, and he doesn't want anything to master him. He wants to be a servant of Christ primarily. And right. if we let things in our life control us or master us, then we can't be a servant of Christ effectively.
That's right.
And so we've got to use technology as a tool, as a resource in our lives, but if we are controlled by it, it will impact our spiritual lives in a major way, and it will not allow us to serve Christ as we are called to.
I absolutely agree. I couldn't have said that better. So some of the things we need to really just take away from this, things we can do about this, and it's really simple, and sometimes it seems like silly how simple it is,
yeah,
but it's actually encouraging. This isn't hard. We can do it. You can do it. I can do it.
Well, yeah, it reminds me of something Pastor Allen says. People always say, like, I want to go deeper in the Word. I want to go deeper. And he always says, if you can't do the simple things, you don't need to go deeper. You got to master the simple things first.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. So the simple things are, first, take breaks.
Yes.
And limit your technology use.
Yes.
And even last night, after preparing for this podcast last night, I'm sitting at home and I found myself like, oh my goodness, I put my phone away.
Yeah.
Because I was just on it for no reason. And I was like, man, I need to limit my use.
Yes.
We need to exercise.
Yes.
You and I've been, we love talking about
We're
that.
We're trying to really challenge each other to stay in the gym and encourage one another. Yeah.
Just being active. It's good for you. It makes you feel
better.
So
yeah, exercise helps to release some of these hormones in a good, positive, healthy way. So instead of associating it with social media, you start associating it with physical activity. And so when you do this, maybe initially you get tired and stuff, but exercise to me is a mood booster.
It really becomes it takes some time at first.
Yeah.
If you're not used to it. That's why you just kind of start slow, steady, you know, make it a routine, mm-hmm. you know? But eventually, yeah, it really does become something that just lifts you up.
Yeah. You look forward to it, which you is do. Kind of weird. Maybe I'm a sadist. I don't know.
No, but you look forward to it. You've just been doing it long enough that you are in that routine it's awesome once you get there.
Yeah. And then rest.
Huge.
This is the single hardest thing in our culture is to learn what rest means. Now we're talking about rest in terms of sleep. We're talking about taking off day. You know, the Bible knows what it's talking about.
A little bit, yeah.
Jesus tells us to take a Sabbath.
Right.
You work 6 days, or I'm sorry, God says, mm-hmm. Jesus as well, you work 6 days and you take a day off.
Right.
Where's your day of rest?
That's right.
You know, that's where we have to get to. And I struggle with this because I have workaholic tendencies. And I have to really watch myself and force myself to rest. Yep. And it feels weird. And I even feel guilty sometimes.
Right.
I feel guilty sitting down and saying, okay, we're going to spend time with the family, or we're going to watch a ball game, or we're going to just whatever. Yeah. We've got to get past that and say, okay, if I'm now the other extreme is laziness.
Right.
Exactly. And we don't want to fall into that. Right. That's not my tendency. And that's not my trap. My trap is the other way, where I get too involved and too much focus on work.
Yep.
So I've got to say, okay, Brian, where do I find those times of rest? Where is my Sabbath? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and even during the day, we need to have times where we are resting and resting. And that's why a quiet time, just spending time with God really kind of gets a lot of these things accomplished for you. You know what I mean? Right. You're taking a break from technology. You might not be exercising while you're doing, but you are resting in the Lord. And so just doing that every day. And again, like I said, going on a walk.
Yep.
Just going on a walk. Just a very short walk is so good for us. And C.S. Lewis talked about how every day he would go on a walk and he would talk. He would say that sometimes some of his most profound thinking was done while he was walking.
That's good.
And and to me, it's like, okay, if C.S. Lewis thinks walking is good for you, then, you know, it probably is.
Yeah.
But it's just taking those breaks during the day. And then, like you said, every week we've got to have a day where we're just relaxing.
Yeah. I mean, that's where, you know, a lot of people, they have their Sabbath on Sunday where they get up, they go to church as a family, and then they get to spend time that day. And a lot of, you know, we schedule things on that day. We really should try not to, if at all possible, you know, and try to really have those times, have those Sunday afternoon naps and things. Listen, Brian, we've got to realize we can't do it all.
Yeah.
You know, we think about, we need to prioritize our relationship with the Lord first and foremost.
Absolutely.
We need to prioritize our relationship with our families.
Yeah.
We need to work, you know, to make a living, and we need to prioritize our community, with the body of believers in the church,
Our church.
After that, I believe the other things are extra,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And so we need to think, if I'm overcommitted, if I'm over busy, are there things in my life that I need to step back from so I can rest, do a better job of resting?
And, you know,
and technology and social media is the first thing we need to look at.
Well, because it just fills those gaps. You know, it's like, it's like, if I don't know if you've ever seen where people will fill up a jar with like marbles or something.
Yes.
And they're like, is this jar full? And you'd be like, yeah, it's full. And then they're like, well, watch how much water I can pour.
Yes.
In here.
Right.
And if we're not careful, we're just filling our time with things that don't matter.
Right.
And so these things are good. It's useful, but we need to make sure we're not filling all of our time with it.
Right.
And so that's
good.
That's really the takeaways, I think. Not hard stuff, but, it's hard because we've got to tell ourselves to do it.
Yeah, it helps us to be better. It helps us to be healthier mentally, physically. Right. And then I think it plays a big part in our spiritual health.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I believe that. 100% believe that. So we wouldn't be talking about this if we didn't think that.
Right.
So,
well, so good. Yeah, I thought that was awesome. Yeah, I think this is a good conversation.
Well, again, we are not professional scientists, but we do listen to people who know what they're talking about.
That's right.
And then look at it through a biblical worldview and say, Lord, how do we use this
for
your glory? So hopefully this is helpful for you. It's been helpful for me. Good for you.
That's great. Yep.
Awesome.
Well, hey, we'll see you next time. Invading
the digital world
like Neo.
So are we invading it, or is it invading us?
It's like Neo.
Neo, the one.
The one. We're in the Matrix. Everyone, you need to unplug from the Matrix right now.
No, that was more the Transformers. Whatever.
The Transformers. Okay.